Let's go to Corinthians 14, 15. Yes, 1 Corinthians, sorry. Now, somebody might think, well, you know, if we can speak in tongues, why do we even have to pray? We can just speak in tongues. Isn't that better? What the heck? We don't even need to pray anymore. We don't have to say, give me what I need. We just close our eyes, speak in tongues. God takes care of it all, right? Well, what about this verse? What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. God wants us to do both. You know, speaking in tongues is amazing. We don't even fully understand it. And we've been taught that when we see through a glass darkly, we don't fully understand it. But it bypasses the mind. And to really get results in prayer, you got to believe. And you have to pray with your understanding, and you got to use your mind as well. We don't walk around like we're just in neutral and just, you know, just speak in tongues. That's all I do. Well, it's a big deal, but it's not the only deal. So let's look at Mark chapter 11. In Mark chapter 11:24, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, soever. Whoever talks that way? You're going Yoda on us again. When ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. But we got to believe, obviously, to get results in prayer. Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. And they hear the word ask is also translated demand. So it's literally like you're going up, or figuratively, I always say use literally wrong. It's like the English teacher was teaching his class about creative writing. He says, never use absolutes. So, but anyway, we demand, and that's the way God wants us to pray. We go forth and we you know, not rudely, but politely, we acknowledge that He's the Almighty God. He's the one and only God. But we demand that we command that and demand that things come to pass what the Word says in our life. That's our prayer. And that's the way God wants us to pray and the way God wants us to walk. It's also interesting, I was telling Diane the other day, if I had my choice, if I could study the Word for an hour, or if I could pray for an hour, or if I had five minutes, I could talk to God for 5 minutes or read the Word for 5 minutes. I'll take talking to God. Because you look at Jesus Christ's life, and what the average day in the life of Jesus Christ, did he like carry these scrolls around, spend all day looking for the dative case instead of the genitive case and the scrolls? Or did he teach the Word, walk the Word, minister the Word, and at the end of the day spend like an hour or so praying to God? That was his life. You know, he had studied the scrolls, obviously, in his youth. He knew them. He knew what the, you know, he says, when he confronted the devil, he didn't go and read it. He says, it's written. He quoted it. He knew it in his head. But he didn't walk around reading all day. He wasn't a readaholic. He was a prayaholic. If you want to be addicted to something, be addicted to praying and walking with God. Actually, the only thing it ever says in the Word we should be addicted to is the ministry of the saints. Is actually what it says in Corinthians. I think it's 2 Corinthians, towards the end of that book. But, well, that's what I have to teach today. I'd like to open it up where other people can say something and make your comments. Speak up so the microphone can pick you up, and so Judy can hear you on the phone as well.
There was a couple things that came to mind when you were talking about the repetition of prayer. And my sister used to be Catholic at one point, and she said, they say the same thing every time.
Yeah.
You go there.
It becomes meaningless.
And that, she actually felt that way. It was just like, well, what's the point of that?
It's the hallmark of a dead religion.
And then the other thing I was thinking about is that how many people would have taken issue with how you said, well, we demand. They would say that, you can't demand anything of God. You're just wrong.
See, they don't want us to be like those genius five-year-olds that get results and creatively solve problems. They want us to be reined in and follow some leader and be like the... When we get people get to be 31 years old, and 97% of us have been dumbed down.
Yeah, who are you to demand something?
Yeah, they want to dumb us down. Where they don't want us getting results.
Well, they misunderstood the word demand. It doesn't always mean in a rude way. I mean, our children, especially when they're young, they demand food.
They cry.
Mommy, I want to eat now, and that's not me being mean. They're just expressing a need. And so the word demand in our vernacular has gotten really negative connotation.
Well, people
to
think
me,
of a
rude, and that's not the case.
People think of a 5-year-old throwing a temper tantrum.
Right, and that's
not it. That's not it at all.
It's just, you know, you're comfortable with your parents. I remember going to my dad, Dad, I need to borrow the car. And I didn't, I just said, I need the keys, Dad. I got to go somewhere. And he threw me the keys, but I didn't. That didn't mean I didn't love my dad or respect him. It meant I knew that I could go to my dad and he would help me. And my earthly father, well, our heavenly father, even more so.
So how many people here have ever worked a job at one point in their life? Everybody. even those of you that are retired. When you work the job, they demand you do the work. If you don't do the work, then you're fired. You're let go. You're laid off. You're replaced with somebody that will do what they demand.
Or you're suspended.
Or suspended, yeah, or whatever. Yeah, but they demand you do work for the pay. They're not going to pay. Like, if you're in business for yourself, and you go, in my youth, I had a window cleaning company when I was going to college. My customers would demand I actually got the windows cleaned before they pay me. I mean, that's business. If you look at a check, it says payable on demand.
The New American Standard Bible. So I was reading about the one where you're talking about speaking in tongues and how having the other part of it. It's like we are, in a way, two different people. In other words, we're the spiritual part, but we're also the manifesting through another man part.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting. It's like how Paul said, and I think sometimes I've taken this out of context in my own mind, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the church I desire to speak 5 words with my mind so that I may instruct others also rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. And that's kind of interesting that if you think about prayer and being simplistic like a child, then we're going to teach them people that may not be instructed as well, much more than if we use so many different high-polluting words instead of just do it. What do you think, you know, just like a child, just like I'm hungry, and then it's provided for them, and then they use it, and then they tell the next person, well, just tell your mom you're hungry. Instead of all this flowery stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting how prayer could be so simplistic for not only ourselves, but as an example to others. How?
Anybody else have something to say before we sign off? And what about you, Judy?
Well, the only thing I've been thinking of, I've been listening to everyone, is that for far too long, the people of God have been just not bold enough to request from God what we actually should receive. And I'm going to take a challenge this week myself to be bold. So that's all I got.
Well, I phoned into your fellowship several months ago and taught a similar teaching. And there was somebody that was about to have a baby, and they was concerned because there was something potentially wrong, and we prayed about it, and the baby came out perfectly healthy, right?
That's right. There was so many things were going wrong. They were saying that, you know, the mother possibly mightn't her wife, maybe mightn't his wife. He had all kinds of going to convulsions. It was serious stuff. I mean, it was just like it was never ending. And her mother and father had been at the fellowship and heard you teach that. And finally, the mother went, you know what? We're not going to have this anymore. We're not going to stand for this. And they started demanding things that would just happen in that hospital room. And the mother didn't have any convulsions. She didn't have anything that went wrong. The baby didn't have anything that went wrong. Both came out perfectly.
Yep, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yes.
That's what I like. Happy ending.
Amen.
All right, well then, why don't we pray for the food, and we're going to have a nice meal, and I guess I'll let you go in after the prayer, Judy. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for fellowship today. And Father, just lead these people in a good way. Show them your power and your greatness. Inspire us to walk like those five-year-old geniuses and come up with creative solutions to spiritual problems in our life. And lead us in a good way. Deliver us from evil. Give us all what we need on a daily basis. Give us health. Give us nutrition. Give us information we need to succeed in this life. Show us things that we need to stop doing and things we need to start doing. Walk with us daily, and don't ever let us forget that you're interested in even the smallest aspect of each and every one of our lives, Father. And Father, bless the food we're going to have after fellowship here, and bless our fellowship that we can continue to hang out and speak the word. And I thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ.